Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
But I thought it would be helpful to watch your very first podcast. And you and Brian were sharing your stories about diagnosis. And you could have put anyone's name in there. Mm-hmm. And I know that the three of us are young onset, but so our story is a tiny bit different. But you could have put anyone's name in there and it would have been the story. And so I think when Martha and I started collaborating, that was one of the things that started to become very important to us. Mm-hmm. If we're going to solve this very complicated problem that is Parkinson's, the voice of the patient and the lived experience has to be louder.
Welcome to The Secret Life of Parkinson's, a podcast created by people living with Parkinson's to help break the stigma of a disease no one likes to talk about. Now, here are your hosts, Jessica Krauser and Brian Baker.
And it has to be kind of foundational in how we're looking at this puzzle and trying to get the pieces to fit together the right way.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think that that's great. There's actually another podcast I want you to be on as well. That talks bringing the patient voice along the journey for any manufacturer, anybody who's working with patients. But I'm so glad to have you guys on, Martha Carlin. This is now your third podcast. I think
it's number one.
Right? First person to do three.
I think so.
Yeah. Oh.
I feel honored to be present for the hat trick, Martha.
All right.
And so we have with us Lisa as well. And so I would love for you guys to, just jump in and talk to us about what we're going to discuss, which is about a documentary that you guys are putting together that's really talking about bringing the patient voice, bringing the patient along front and center. So we'll get into that. But before we do that, I mean, Martha, I think everybody knows you. Your episode on gut health was very popular and still continues to be so. But if you want to have Lisa introduce herself and then what you guys are doing together, and then we can go from there.
Do you want to remind everybody?
Well, so I'm Martha Carlin. I got into all of this 23 years ago when my husband, John, who was 44 at the time, was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And you could go back to one of the earlier episodes of that. And in 2015, I founded a microbiome company that led me on this grand journey. And also as a part of, at that same time, I founded a small foundation called BioCollective Research that has done small studies in Parkinson's microbiome, trying to kind of unlock some of those pieces. And last year, I got a email, I think, from Lisa and Jane, and they had started a new foundation. And I'll let her tell you about that. But she reached out to me and she said, well, we want to know how to get a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whose table? Like, why do you want to sit at there? Like, let's set our own table.
I love it. I love that.
Then we started just coming up with this idea and meeting on a regular basis to talk about it. And then this, I'll let her introduce herself and then we'll tell you what our project is.
So about a year ago, with an international group, national and international group of people with Parkinson's, we started an organization that we call Resolve Parkinson's. And our primary goal is advocacy, just advocating for the patient who has Parkinson's, advocating for the care partner community, and really kind of using our voice in a way that affects positive change. So I think our huge goal is that you know, at some point we are going to improve the system of care through our advocacy efforts. But you got to start somewhere, right? And somebody said to me, you should talk to Martha Carlin. And just so that everybody listening knows that I'm in their camp, when I first thought about this, I was like, Martha Carlin, how am I even going to convince her to talk to me? Send her this little email and I introduce myself and she says, I'd love to meet with you. And we have this absolutely fantastic conversation where I think Martha really sort of intuitively understood what we were trying to accomplish and why we're trying to accomplish it, and was very supportive as we were talking about how do we make this happen and what are some of the tips and tricks that you can share with us that will help us successfully advocate for people who really need it. And that's exactly what happened. I said, how do we get a seat at the table? And she paused and with great grace said, are you sure you want a seat at that table? Maybe we should just set our own table. And I'm telling you guys, that moment was electric for me. I was like, this has to happen. We're going to set our own table and we're going to pave our own way.
Yep.
And as we started talking about this and these ideas started coming to fruition, you know, I can say with confidence that we're working towards something that has, I think, is going to have great meaning for people with Parkinson's.
That's awesome. I love that. And I do love that idea of just make your own table, right? I mean, I feel like that's what a lot of us are trying to do, but it's really hard to get, you know, to get people together and to get everybody on the same page. And, you know, let's just start our own, you know, journey.
It's almost easier, I think, to set your own table.
Yeah.
Than it is to try to fight your way into somebody else's.
Or to live within the confines of that. But yeah, so love to hear what you guys are doing.
So then we started talking about trying to put together a meeting, and I have been working for about a year and a half with a researcher in Australia, and we hope to have a really comprehensive draft paper that's going to kind of shift the whole perspective and dynamic of Parkinson's that will tie what's going on in the gut that we know is a very important piece of the puzzle to the actual physiology of what's happening in the body and to some foundational things in science, in the chemistry and biology and physics that are wrong. And the evidence has been there for a long time, but has not been brought into the context of the research. And so as a part of that, I had been talking to Dr. Ninham about putting this meeting together. And really, honestly, 10 years ago, I had this idea that I wanted to bring a diversity of minds together in a room to talk about it from a different perspective, because you get, like, everybody gets in their little silo and their area of expertise, and they don't step back and look at the whole person. So then out of that, you know, this idea of a meeting to really look at the whole problem and talking to Lisa and Jane, it's like, in order for somebody coming to that to really understand the full picture, you have to have the voices of the people who live it, because they're so much of what informed the paper that Barry and I have worked on is the experience that John and I were living and sharing with Barry, and even doing little experiments at home. And over the 23 years, pretty much every time I meet a Parkinson's person, I'm doing a 2020 interview with them, like, tell me your story. And so then we started talking about, well, let's make a documentary. I mean, we're now in this world where we can all be on screen. We don't have to have a big fancy, camera crew to come together to actually have a conversation and someone's perspective. And so we first just started a little bit organically with some people we had relationships with. And Lisa can tell you a bit about one of the conversations we had with a group of women from her Resolve Parkinson's group. And you start to connect dots and see things that you maybe haven't seen before. I mean, as an example, I did a discussion with a group of wives of men with Parkinson's. And in that conversation, I learned, and they learned, that more than 50% of their spouses had prism glasses, like they see double. Well, I mean, how many have you ever heard anybody? So then I started asking Parkinson's people when I would talk to them, and several of the people here in Colorado that I've talked about it, they wear prism glasses. So there's like little pieces of the puzzle that I think are missing from the painting because we haven't had a conversation.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think for me, from the advocacy perspective, you know, Martha and I are starting to have these conversations. Jane and I have been setting up sort of some preliminary conversations. So people have reached out and said, I'm interested in participating, and Jane and I will just have a little chat with them. Mm-hmm. Or we set up a recorded meeting. And it is amazing to me. I hope I can really articulate this in a meaningful way. It is amazing to me how much it means to people to be heard.
Right.
People with Parkinson's to be heard, because you have this whole set of issues that you deal with day to day, month to month, and you check in with your neurologist maybe once or twice a year. You have this relatively quick 15-minute appointment, and it's hard, I think, to feel heard, and it can be hard to find solutions, and it can leave one feeling that, you know, they're in the boat alone. And so as we've been having these conversations and we've been meeting with people, it's almost been overwhelming how emotional people get when they thank us. So the meeting might just seem like somebody told us, I felt like I was part of a coffee group. You know, we shared a bit of a video with this gentleman, and he said, I felt like I was sitting at your kitchen table having coffee with all of you. It was great. So even if in that moment when we're all talking and we're sharing our experiences, it seems like everything is just, you know, a good conversation. Every single conversation we've had has ended almost with an emotional thank you. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for hearing my story. Almost every single time, Martha has a little piece of advice that, you know, with great gratitude, people thank her for sharing. So that's also, I think, another really important aspect of what we're trying to accomplish, that we really want that voice to be heard.
That's awesome. I do remember a piece of her advice that she told us is not to eat donuts, and I was eating them in front of her. but no, it's interesting that you say that about stories, because so we started a nonprofit four years ago, and one of the things that we're updating our website, because we're going to be making some changes, and we're focused on, you know, changing the way people think about Parkinson's, the way people talk about Parkinson's, and the way that they live with it. So if you've heard of our podcast, you know, we talk a lot about exercising, you know, and bringing somebody on like Martha, it's a lot about your health, like overall gut health. And it's, you know, there are things that people can do today to live better, and that's what we're trying to do. But one of the things recently that we just did is I sent a email out to everybody who's participated in the nonprofit in the past, and just, you know, ask them if they wanted to share their, you know, share their story or share their testimonial. And again, we get a lot of, you know, comments just from the website itself of like how, you know, people just feel so at ease and relieved to be able to hear somebody, not even tell like they themselves not telling their story, but hearing a story that sounds just like them. And they're like, I feel like I'm not alone. This is great. But then so many people who were sharing their story, I was shocked. And I was like, people just want to be able to be heard. So I literally just had that conversation with one of my co-founders last week. And so you guys are definitely on a really good path that's going to make a difference in people.
Yeah, I think, you know, the one thing I've always told Jess is, you know, I always want to be some part of something that is, I don't want to make this about me or about her. Mm-hmm. I want it to be about us.
You know, our community.
Yeah, our community. Not even just the two of us, but I mean us, the people with Parkinson's, and it sounds like you guys are going down that same path.
So tell us, you already started doing interviews, and you're looking for more?
Yes. And as we started to do it, we were also thinking, okay, we're going to have, I mean, there's so many tools now today. What we're probably going to do is set up some kind of a channel whether that's YouTube or whatever. So we'll have the documentary where we're putting clips together to tell a larger story. But we also want to have the full stories and different clips and things that people can, you know, watch in a smaller series if they want, or if they want to watch every one of them. And, you know, who knows, maybe we'll just keep interviewing people and keep adding stories over time. But one in particular was really interesting. So Lisa and I had a conversation with a couple that I had met and talked to several times before. They're in the United Kingdom. And she is a naturopath or homeopath. She's a homeopath. He had stage 5 Parkinson's, and he has reversed it back to stage 1. And so they talked a little bit about that. But he was also having a bit of an off that day, and he mentioned that he had eaten beans or
like legumes,
you know, legumes right before that, he hadn't thought about it. And so he wrote me back and asked if he could re-record the session. And so a week later, I did just a one-on-one session with him, and he's a musician. So he was a composer and musician for the BBC, had a very stressful job, and he had tried to play the ukulele for us on the first one, and he played a little bit, but he played so fast on this other one, like you couldn't even see his fingers
moving. Yeah,
and his, so like for me, having something like that where you could even have a side by side of showing somebody, because it's usually when somebody goes to the doctor, they're kind of on their best. They want, you know, they know what they need to do to look their best, to feel their best, to score their best. And so the doctor doesn't see that difference. And when I explained that to Dr. Ninham, who I'm working on the paper, he was like, oh, that totally goes exactly with our theory, and here's how it works. And it was, you know, so there's just all these amazing little tidbits, you know, having conversation. And then one of the things that this couple had done was he drinks goat milk kefir called Laughing Goat. It's only available in the UK, but that by itself had a tremendous impact on him. So, you know, back to the gut.
Right. Interesting. So what are you guys, what's the plan to do with all of these interviews, like this, the documentary, if you will, or is there, I think you mentioned something like getting other scientists and people together. So what's the next step or goal, I guess?
Well, the documentary is underway, and I'll let Lisa talk about that in a second, but I can give you sort of a hint of our meeting, if you want. It's called Stripping the Canvas Bare, A New Synthesis in Parkinson's Research. Enough of the same old story. For decades, Parkinson's research and medicine itself has been like a canvas layered with theories, treatments, and fleeting breakthroughs. But beneath it all, the original image is lost. What if we've been looking at it the wrong way? It's time to strip the canvas bare. The data on Parkinson's disease is vast, yet making sense of it remains a formidable challenge. One thing is certain: the quixotic disease that is Parkinson's is unlikely to be understood if the scientific foundation itself is incomplete. This well-worn approach has yet to succeed. We must choose a different path. Understanding this disease demands a holistic perspective. As Xenophanes wrote around 500 BC, the gods have not revealed all things from the beginning, but men seek and find out better in time. Well, this is our time. We interpret this as a call to rebuild the scientific foundations, an essential step before meaningful progress can be made. The dominant framework for cell biology and physiology rests on physical chemistry, colloid science, and surface chemistry. These disciplines should serve as the enabling foundation, yet only recently have physical chemists had an epiphany. The fundamental principles on which we rely are not only flawed, but profoundly misleading. a tectonic shift in science, the glycocalyx, the microbiome, and beyond. At the center of this shift is the glycocalyx, the critical but long-ignored interface that governs how cells communicate, how the immune system responds, and how gut health translates to brain health. The microbiome is part of this system, but it is not the whole story. Without understanding the glycocalyx, we miss the structure that mediates these effects. This is why we are re-examining the foundations of biology itself, from the overlooked forces in physical chemistry to the molecular structures that shape neurodegenerative disease. We are not here to refine old models. We are here to dismantle and rebuild them.
Wow. So, very impressive.
And we have, right now, we have about 22 scientists.
Wow.
And physicians confirmed from Australia to Europe and the United States.
How do they find out about it?
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Or how can they get in touch, or get, you have to be invited.
You have to be invited.
Okay.
it's at a place that's really small.
Okay.
It's on this little island in Wisconsin, and there's only 42 slots.
Okay.
And there will also be Parkinson's patients there.
Oh, got it. Very cool.
So there's going to be, interaction. So some of it came from Dr. Ninham's contacts. Uh-huh. A lot of it came through, people that I've worked with mm-hmm. over the 10 years in the microbiome space.
Yeah.
And some is just like emerging new people, like, people that Lisa has contacts with through hers, like Ray Dorsey and Ending Parkinson's is invited. And so we want those people who have the ability to open their minds and look outside the box.
Yeah. Think beyond what's today.
And that's, that's not everybody.
Mm-hmm. So Lisa, how does the documentary play into that?
Well, I think initially we were thinking, what if this whole thing kicked off with the documentary? What if this whole thing kicked off with all the scientists and the researchers getting that really inside look at what it's like day to day to live with Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this project, the documentary, is taking on a life of its own. And people are really eager to share their stories, and we are really eager to listen. So I'm not sure what we'll have prepared for this event. We might have to just pick our favorite snippets or two and share them with the group. But we feel in general that it's a great way to kick off all of this out of the box thinking. We want people to come to the table feeling excited to share something new and innovative with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we want them to feel comfortable talking with each other about these new and innovative ideas, right? We want them to be able to say, oh, I've never thought of it like that before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we take this theory and we apply my theory to it, where do we go with that? Because that's, I think, the space where these really dynamic and interesting things can happen.
Yeah.
And so if that work is happening with the sort of, if your jumping off point is what do my patients need and how does my work fit into that, man, that has the potential to be so powerful, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that the documentary can be used at the conference. The conference, though, is slated for May. And at the rate we're going, this is going to be the kind of,
oh, May, like this year?
That requires that requires a bathroom break.
Oh, yes. Wow.
May this year. It's the 20th, 21st, and 22nd of May.
Wow.
You guys are messing
and
around.
And so that's the one thing I would add to that, though, is that for someone listening to this who hears Martha talk and hears her talk about this conference opportunity and the research opportunity, and they're feeling really excited about it, they should reach out to Martha. This is not going to be a one and done, and we welcome those voices at the table. We encourage people who are thinking outside of the box and who have innovative ideas around Parkinson's, understanding it, treating it, caring for patients who have it. Reach out to us, and we'll help you get connected with this team. We may not have a seat left at the conference table, but we will connect.
We still have a few seats. There's still some movement around, and we're trying to get some final confirmations. But we may still have a few seats.
Well, so it would be great if we can have you guys even on after that conference to see, you know, what came of it and what the next steps are. But we'll be happy to share your contact information on the show. Are you, because I know you said from, you know, learning or people interested about like the science or the research, but Lisa, are you still looking and interested to have people contact you who want to tell their story? So people who are watching this show?
Without a doubt.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Great. Well, I know a lot of people would love to share. We like sharing every day.
Well, we're also going to share the conference, so everything will be recorded and made available from the conference.
That's awesome.
Access.
That's awesome. I love all these little updates that you give us. This is great, and I know there's a couple people that I even have in mind of previous podcasts that we've had, who, you know, like Carl Beach, who has the Beach Band, and I can't think of doctor's name. But who does Symbix, like the laser treatment therapy? I mean, there's just so many different things out there, and you know, getting those minds together. I'm sure it would be amazing. I mean,
the patient researcher is a really fascinating component to this. And one of the things we talk about at Resolve Parkinson's is that because so little is understood about Parkinson's, we really don't truly know what causes it. We don't have treatments for it. We can't cure it. But patients hear a lot of really interesting things about how to care for themselves with Parkinson's. And people then consequently try certain things and sometimes have amazing results. Like, you know, all those people who are doing the high dose B1 therapy and getting these amazing results. But I think if you went to your neurologist and said, so what do you think about the B1 therapy?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how well that would go over, but I think people like Carl Beach are amazing. Mm-hmm. I think those patient scientists are really amazing. And so that's the voice. Well, that's one of the voices that we want to elevate.
Yeah.
Those people who are mired in the lived experience and think, what could I do for myself to make things better? And then when it works, they're willing to share it with the entire Parkinson's community. I'd love for you to have the same positive experience that I'm having.
I love it.
And so we want people like who've started the Beach Band to have a really loud voice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I just saw this question, and Martha, you might be the person that could answer this. Is there another neurological disorder that has not had any updates in their medications since the 60s?
Like how we have?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, sorry,
our gold standard
hasn't changed.
You look at MS, there's been a lot of progress with MS. Mm-hmm. There's been, well, I'll say there have been new drugs with Alzheimer's, but none of them really work. Right. So I would maybe put that in a similar category. There have been things brought forward, but they're not particularly effective.
But we have not had a new drug introduced for Parkinson's since the 60s.
Well, I mean, most of what you get is reformulating existing medication to extend patents.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
yeah, new delivery methods or yeah.
It's the same medication, it's just repackaged every time. And that's for my patient perspective, that's what frustrates me.
Like, you haven't figured out anything else yet.
I mean, yeah.
Well, that was really kind of one of my frustrations was there was no look at root cause.
I was going to say, I mean, to your point, it's like maybe we're looking at the wrong place. maybe we have to take a step back, and how like you're so focused on the gut, and how, you know, I don't know what Carl's focused on, but just like the vibration of it, like, are we going in the wrong direction with thinking, you know, medication is going to be the one to do it? And it's like, so I love where you're headed, because it's really taking everything off the table to say, what do we need to look at?
Well, stress. So one of the other things that I've noticed over the years, but even in some of these recent conversations, stress as a trigger, is a huge, huge piece of the puzzle that I think, you know, is never discussed. And I mean, I have one interview with a gentleman who basically worked across the street from the World Trade Center, and he tells his story of, you know, 9/11, the day that it happened and all of that. But that to him wasn't the biggest stressor. The big stressor was when he went back to work and every day he took the train and every day the police got on and pulled someone off, and he's looking in the overhead and he's thinking, is there a bomb in here? You know, it's like this, that constant low grade tension of I'm in danger. And I often, when I'm talking to people, will kind of pick back through the history to see the big stress events. And there's often, like, you know, a loss of a parent or a child, or, you know, some very deep emotional tragedy that, you know, creates this level of stress.
Yeah.
And of course we're dealing with neurotransmitters. Those are heavily involved in stress.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody ever said anything about stress management over 23 years to the doctor.
I mean, our doctor, like my doctor, she like, I know not everybody does this, but ours does talk about stress and managing it, but it's like, okay, but how do you manage it when you have, you know, kids and aging parents and a career and this life to keep going on? It's like, stress is going to be there. So it's like, but there's nothing in place yet to say, like, okay, for people with Parkinson's, you have to, if you do this, this will help manage your stress, just like we're managing our other symptoms by taking medication or exercising. But yeah, that's interesting.
Yes, our bigger view is out of this, out of the documentary and out of the new science. That we're going to take that as a foundation to also look at building a new care paradigm.
Yeah.
That includes in it, these tools and making things available to help people do things. I mean, exercise has gotten a lot better. There are a lot of programs where people can access those, but, you know, stress management and physical therapy and voice and the emotional aspects of what you're dealing with. And the power of the mind. I mean, I can't remember if I've talked to Lisa about Bruce Lipton and the biology of belief. But, you know, you can change your cells. So things like that, if we can start to understand that what's broken in the foundation and take these voices of the lived experience, then we can start to put together a framework that truly does care for people.
Yeah.
Right. And I think there are places around the world that are already doing this.
Yeah.
There are certain countries where this is already happening and they're doing it really effectively. I'm not sure that we're there yet. So I think there are some models out there that we can admire and say, how do we incorporate X, Y, or Z into our system of care here? I don't think we're necessarily reinventing the wheel, but Martha's right. We need to start looking at all the pieces and all the factors and addressing all the issues across the board. Because I think there's more to caring for someone with Parkinson's than prescribing Sinemat.
And you guys are going to get us there. So thank you.
We're going to get you there.
Lisa, do you want to just say a little something about Albert? Because that's also kind of one of the connections. Actually, I think maybe Albert is somehow how we got connected.
Yeah. So, a few years ago, I met a gentleman from France named Albert Wright, and he is a PhD level scientist. Chemistry and physics were his areas of expertise. And Albert got diagnosed with Parkinson's and decided he wasn't going to take it lying down. So he started looking at what causes Parkinson's, what's making me feel this way, how did this happen? And I think one of his big takeaways from voraciously reading the research was that this is tied into oxidative stress and mitochondrial dysfunction. And so he started thinking, well, how can I combat that? What can I do to combat that in myself? And he started realizing that sulforaphane is a very powerful antioxidant and could potentially combat that oxidative stress and mitochondrial dysfunction. So Albert turned his kitchen into a lab, chem lab. I kept thinking, we need to do like a little documentary of like Albert's family trying to make dinner while he's got this whole like chem lab going and all his equipment going.
Bunsen burner.
And he, exactly. And he made a substance that he affectionately called broccoli seed tea. And basically it was a combination of broccoli seeds. So the glucoraphanin from broccoli and the myrosinase from something that you would get from like mustard. And he made this compound in his home chemistry lab and he drank it like a tea. Huh. And here's the thing. Albert had some really significant non-motor symptoms that were basically put on the shelf by giving his body these regular doses of sulforaphane. So Albert decided he wanted to do an N-of-1 study. He had that success. And then he invited a few people that were in his circle, you know, his Parkinson's community. Would you like to give this a try? And we'll each do an N-of-1. We'll identify a singular non-motor issue. We'll all make the broccoli seed tea the same way. We'll all take it on the same schedule and we'll see what happens. And so I participated in that N-of-1 experiment with Albert. And like Albert, I had a lot of success with it. So as our group of successful brewers started meeting each week and just talking about what we were doing, how it was going, how it was affecting us, it didn't work for everybody. It's kind of, you know, the sticky wicket of Parkinson's. Uh-huh. We said, wouldn't it be nice if there was an organization that could really advocate for patients? So when you hear someone saying, I have a tremor that can't be controlled, you know, you have somebody like Carl who's saying, I have an idea about that mm-hmm. and I'm willing to work on it. You have these non-motor symptoms that just can't be controlled. And you have somebody like Albert who says, I have an idea about that and I'm willing to work on it. Resolve Parkinson's was kind of born out of that. Okay, so what about these people who have these ideas and are willing to advocate for others? How do we bring that voice together and share it? And so the other thing I want to say about Albert is because sadly he passed away a couple of weeks ago. Was one of the first people I encountered after I was newly diagnosed who was very hopeful and said, I have an idea about something wonderful that we can do. He was a lot like Martha. You know, Martha says, I think there are things you can do to make your day-to-day life better. And as you guys both know, the diagnosis can be a heavy burden. And when someone just kind of walks into your life that has that hopeful outlook and is actively engaged in doing something that can make things better, not only for themselves, but for the greater community, you know, it's game changing. It helps you feel like, okay, I can get on top of this. I can get on top of this.
Wow. And I think that's your podcast does that.
Mm. Yes. Yes. Your podcast does that.
Thank you. Well, I'm so sorry for your loss and, you know, the loss that he is to the community of Parkinson's. But what a great gift, you know, he has potentially given to you and to others. Like you said, it might not work for everybody, but there's a start, and that's what you guys are really trying to pull together. So again, we really appreciate it. I love having people on, you know, like you guys to talk about, you know, how you're taking this disease and trying to make a difference to help people just, you know, just live the best life that they possibly can, and do good in this world. So thank you very much for everything.
You're very welcome. It's our pleasure.
I appreciate you guys coming on and we look forward to hearing from you guys after your event in May. And like I said, we'll leave information for individuals, for the listeners to reach out to you. And like you mentioned earlier, you can live anywhere in the world.
Right.
We have plenty of global listeners. You know, just reach out. So we'll have your information so that they can tell their stories. And hopefully you get a lot more, which I'm sure you will. So,
thank you, Jessica.
Yeah, thank you.
Definitely keep us posted.
Yeah. Though. Yeah. This is very, very interesting. And I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. But I'll leave you with this in our last 30 seconds. I can't get enough of this community of people with Parkinson's. Everybody that we've encountered, it just seems so supportive and loving and nurturing and just wanting to help one another. So I really, really urge you, if you haven't reached out to anybody yet, please do so, because it will just make a world of a difference. And share your story. Talk to Lisa, talk to Martha, talk to anybody that you possibly can, but sharing your story really takes a weight off and really helps you make you feel like you're not alone and that there's other people just like you. So with that, we will see you next time. Thanks. The Secret Life of Parkinson's is produced by Melissa Carlson and Steve Brandenburg. To contact us, email info@thesecretlifeofpd.org. The Secret Life of Parkinson's is not responsible or liable for any medical advice, diagnosis, course of treatment, or any other information obtained through this podcast. The information provided by The Secret Life of Parkinson's is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast. You are encouraged to consult a physician for a definitive diagnosis.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.